gliding over a townscape.
October 12th, 2022. An organized shoplifting gang hits three separate branches of Morrison's in the same day, taking around £1,000 worth of goods off the shelf each time and walking straight out of the door.
CCTV footage of a woman pushing a shopping trolley.
In the next several months, this gang will hit over 50 more branches of Morrison's in more than 30 counties across England and Wales, stealing over £120,000 worth of stock.
In a supermarket aisle, a man loads items into a trolley.
Who are these people? Why did they do this? And where on earth did they sell £120,000 worth of items from Morrison's?
Pedestrians walk along a street carrying branded gift bags.
I'm on the hunt for Britain's shoplifting gangs.
It's a mass scale that we've never had before. It's not people stealing to feed themselves, it's stealing to order.
Going undercover.
How do you get this so cheap?
They've been stolen.
To find out where all this stolen stuff is ending up.
I sell it across the globe, Middle East, Africa, Europe.
And who's behind this new wave of crime?
Now's the moment. Keep going.
Britain's shoplifting gangs exposed. Channel 4 dispatches. Hashtag C4 dispatches. Investigative journalist Matt Shea is driving along.
I'm more used to investigating things like drug cartels and human trafficking than shoplifting. But I think there's more than meets the eye to the UK's shoplifting epidemic. I mean, it might seem like a petty crime, but when you look at the volume of stuff being stolen, it's clearly orchestrated.
The UK's rate of shoplifting is currently at the highest level since records began, with 900 incidents every hour, adding up to £1.8 billion worth in 2023. This is adding an extra £133 a year to our household bills. Police estimate a quarter of incidents are now down to organized shoplifting gangs who are crisscrossing the country to steal an unprecedented volume of stock from retailers.
And this Morrison's shoplifting spree group were one of the first to do this kind of mobile, organized shoplifting format. So I'm convinced if I can just find out who was behind that and where all that stuff was ending up, I'll be able to figure out what's really behind the UK's rise in shoplifting.
To do this, I need to speak to the people who first noticed the Morrison's gang.
A sign reads, Total Security Services.
70% of retailers believe police aren't doing enough to stop organized shoplifting, leading them to now spend hundreds of millions of pounds on their own security measures and intelligence analysts to tackle it. It's thanks to one of them, a woman named Rachel Gillett, who pieced together dozens of hours of CCTV that we now know about this gang.
Rachel.
Perfect. This is our crime and investigations department. So this is where we deal with organized crime across the business.
How did you first discover that this group was doing this?
So it was actually my first day with the business. I picked up an incident, noticed some strange behaviour on one of our incident reporting platforms. We thought it was just one of our normal groups, probably quite low value. It was actually in the January and February that all of a sudden we had a huge spike in incidents, and we realised that actually this was a serious group. And we mapped the MO and we found other stores that had been targeted. There were at least 80 incidents. And we found out it was the same individuals. Those four were travelling the whole country. They were going to stores stealing high-value health and beauty products, ink products, and also alcohol products. In total, it was around £120,000.
£120,000 stolen from Morrison's all across the country?
Yes, and this was our largest investigation we've ever done to date.
So tell me about their tactics.
So they had someone that would go around the store and that they would monitor and surveillance basically the whole area to work out what they needed to do to get away with the stock. So you'd have one spotter and two people taking the products. That's how they usually operated. They would go through a variety of different products, and here they're taking alcohol products, selecting a large quantity, as you can see there, filling the trolley as much as possible. So this is another example of the type of incidents they would do. So in this, you can see you've got your Oral-B products.
Toothbrushes.
Picking up the toothbrush heads, but not just one at a time, the whole casing. Probably easily about £500 she's just picked up there, just like that.
Wow, toothbrush heads.
Yes. And then what she'll do is she'll go to an aisle and put that in her backpack. And she's picked a location where we've got a card stand and it's concealing the stock.
From the CCTV camera?
Yes.
How does she know where all the CCTV cameras are?
It's exactly what the spotter would have been doing, checking the best spots to go and conceal in. That's all part of what they would do.
This level of organization, this volume of product, the quantity of hits that they're doing in a short space of time, someone or some organization must be directing them, because how else could they be doing it?
Definitely the spotter was in control, was overseeing what was happening within the operations, would never touch the products, would never risk that, would just be a distant look. So they were definitely more senior than the people that were selecting and taking that higher risk of walking out the store with those products. And we were going to police forces and they had no idea who the suspects were. Facial recognition came back as a negative. They didn't know who they were, had never been arrested in England before. We were using intelligence alerts across the business, so we got one up there that we share to all of our guards and store managers to spread awareness of who to look out for. Now they're wanted across the country.
Images of a man and a woman.
If I can find this spotter, I'll be able to find out who he's working for and what, or who, is really behind the UK's rise in organized shoplifting. But where do I start?
We know from retailers that a huge quantity of goods like razors, makeup, over-the-counter medication are constantly being shoplifted from their shops. What we don't know is where the bulk of all those goods is ending up. Where are they being sold? Where do you sell £100,000 worth of eyeliner?
Matt slowly reverses his car out of a parking space and drives along a paved shopping street. Now he's driving along a dual carriageway.
The one bit of information I do have is I got a tip-off from a private security company that works on behalf of retailers that some of these goods are ending up at car boot sales in Essex. So that's my first port of call.
An arrowed sign by a roadside reads, boot sale. A field full of parked cars and vans with tables displaying goods around them. Bonza Car Boot Sale, Romford, Essex. Secret filming. Matt approaches a seller behind a table filled with bottles of sun lotion.
How'd you get them so cheap?
I can't tell you that. Why not?
Many of the vendors I speak to become suspicious when I ask them where their brand new off-the-shelf items came from.
Cool. All right, thank you.
Car boot sales are not meant to allow the sale of new goods, and it's the police's job to inspect them. They may think that's what I'm doing.
A vendor says, I have this one, Coco Chanel.
Oh, okay. So this is definitely real, yeah?
Yeah, real.
So where did you guys get them?
This is Vantaman, my son.
Isn't this a women's perfume there?
Although this stuff may appear stolen, the only way we can prove that it is if someone admits to it on camera. But who would ever do that?
How do you get this so cheap?
I get them so cheap because they've been stolen. Stolen stuff.
They're stolen. Apparently this guy, Fousey. The huge amount of cheap razors he's selling makes me suspect he's working with an organized shoplifting gang. To get him to open up, I pose as a potential bulk buyer.
Do you do big orders? Because my friend runs a shop.
Oh, I see.
Do you do big orders for like large amounts?
Yes, I do big quantity. If you want to take my number, if you want,
yeah.
You know, I mean, just text me.
And would they be stolen? Would they be stolen, these ones?
Yes, you know, it's secret. Just...
Yeah. Okay, what's your number?
It's 074.
Yeah.
So send me your name. Text me.
Okay, perfect.
Text me your name and nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, man.
Nice
I will
meet
do.
You.
Good to meet you.
Have a
good one.
Yeah?
You too. Thank you.
I travel to car boot sales across Essex and find multiple vendors selling stolen goods.
These aren't counterfeit, right? They're real?
This is not wrong. This is in Poundland. This is in Boots.
Poundland Boots.
Are they stolen? Yes, stolen.
Some of them seem to belong to organized groups who drive away when I question them.
Do you guys do...
No, we're not interested. We come boots at all.
Oh, the boot sales only. Okay.
With 25% more people visiting car boots since the cost of living crisis, stolen goods have never been easier to sell. But my focus isn't the vendors, it's the organized shoplifting gangs I suspect they're connected to. So I arrange another meeting with Fousey to find out more.
Secret recording.
Whereabouts?
Someday in the market, come in the market.
Nine Elms Market, Vauxhall, London. Secret filming. Matt approaches Fousey's table.
I'll see you next week, yeah?
Yeah, anytime, sir, anytime.
Yeah, man.
How you doing, bro?
Yeah.
I found you,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I know. You never been here?
No, you could get nice. Everything.
Yeah, whatever you like, I don't. I met another big guy who can bring me big stuff.
Okay.
Which kind of, did you need this kind of like,
Razors. Yeah, toothbrushes is a good one. Toothbrushes is basically everything.
Everything, yeah. I'll bring it to you. I'll bring it even to your shop.
Are these, they're not counterfeit, are they?
I'm sorry, no. £6, sir, £6. This is coming from Boots, coming from Superdrug.
Okay.
Coming from Sainsbury.
Would it be possible to arrange a meeting with me, you, and them?
No. I don't show you these people. Mm-hmm. Because of his protection, you know?
Why does he need to be protected?
Oh, my friend, what are you asking me why? This is just come to kill my energy. I already wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like you, I'll buy it myself.
Okay. All right, man. Sounds good. Problem. I'll see you. I'll speak to you soon. Good to meet you, man.
Give me a shot. Yeah?
All right, will do. All right. See ya.
By claiming to have access to enough supply to stock an entire shop, Fousey has given us a glimpse of just how big the black market for stolen retail goods is. But ultimately, he's unwilling to give up the mysterious people providing him with these goods, so we're not going to be able to speak to a gang this way. Luckily, the police are about to provide us with a crucial lead on the Morrison's gang, after a security guard spots them in Norfolk.
CCTV footage of people in a supermarket.
A gang of four have recently been identified shoplifting stock worth over £120,000 from over 50 Morrisons across the country. And I'm looking for the ringleader because I want to know where all these goods are going.
Matt's driving.
Last year, retailers spent £1.2 billion on security measures to stem shoplifting. In Morrison's case, it may be about to pay off. Morrison's intelligence team circulated images of the gang to security officers stationed in every branch. One spotted the group walk in and immediately notified the police.
Footage of a security guard apprehending a woman pushing a trolley.
The ringleader got away. But police were able to catch the two who actually took the items off the shelves in a car park across town.
Hello, can you two just wait there a minute? Wait there. Have you just been into Morrison's? What do you reckon?
That's what she just put down.
Yeah, she had it all underneath her thing. Okay, at the minute you're under arrest for going equipped to steal, okay? So you don't have to say anything, but it may have a defensive too, don't mention when questioned, something which you're letting lie in court. Anything you do say may be given evidence, okay? So the necessity for your arrest is for an interview, okay?
The male suspect is helped into a police van, a police interview room.
In their interview with police, they reveal key information about who is in charge.
There's evidence via CCTV linking you and others to theft from shops at various Morrisons up and down this country. You haven't done this before, had you?
Mm.
I think you said before, previous meeting, what you're saying is you were just dragged along. You weren't a ringleader, and down to them. So who was the ringleader, would you say?
I would say Zeno.
Okay. Is that
a
Googler?
Yes.
Matt's on the road again.
So we finally have a name for the ringleader, Zeno Googlen. He's currently on the run from police, who have been unable to track him down. The lead police investigator has agreed to an interview.
At Norfolk Police and Fire Headquarters, Matt follows police investigator Duncan Etchells into an office full of people using computers.
So this is the control room.
Duncan leads Matt to a desk in the room.
And this is where we are.
They sit in front of a computer screen.
All right, so what's this here? Is this the footage of the arrest?
Yes, so what this shows here is on the 2nd of May, it shows the two offenders that were stayed in the area, and we think those two are the ones that were just tasked to doing the thefts. Romanian nationals being paid £50 per shop that they stole from, and not the leading offender, Mr. Gugulan, he was never caught. And he was linked to 54 different offences. So the main instigator as such, he was the ringleader. Again, Romanian national. He had the shoplifting list, and he would no doubt instruct the two worker bees in the back to get out and do their stuff. It's a frustration that we've never actually got hold of him yet.
Mm. So when they were stealing these goods from Morrison's up and down the country, where did the goods end up?
Myself and our team were all retired detectives, so we are used to investigating higher level crimes, but we put those methods into the investigation into the Morrison's Four, which is actually called Operation Hemsworth. There's 27 forces involved. And then once we put them under our microscope, the phone work, ANPR, all sorts of CCTV from up and down the country, we then identified where they'd been. The offences take place around the country. At some point, they all go back to what you call the stash house. It was just literally like a warehouse. It was like a mini Morrison's in their house, really.
89 boxes of Strepsils.
150 Lemsip Max cold and flu. There's 108 Sudocrem tubs, batteries, 331 Sensodyne toothpaste.
That's a lot of toothpaste.
I've never dealt with anyone that's stolen 331 boxes of toothpaste, I must admit. It's crazy.
It's just so weird to think of these organized groups running all over the country stealing hundreds of packets of Strepsils and toothpaste. Like, what's their plan?
I don't know what they were going to do with them, but these are, like you say, a strange shopping list which must be getting sent somewhere to benefit someone.
Photographs of packets of painkillers and bottles of suntan lotion.
So who is behind all of this?
We never did find out where the items went to or who really profited from these series of thefts. But there was a hub of operations around that that area of Northampton, which were known to local forces in the Midlands with the possibility of being linked to organised crime.
Did the Midlands police forces suggest what sort of organised crime or what sort of organised crime groups?
It was just thefts, but also facilitating sort of illegal entry into the country.
So someone's bringing them in for this?
That was the assumption from the offenders that we spoke to, yeah.
Could there be a Romanian organised crime group operating in Northampton that's bringing people into the country to shoplift?
Yes, but I can't discuss that because there is ongoing work. Our first step is to get hold of Mr. Gugulan, who's currently out as wanted. I'm hopeful that before I retire again, I'll get the chance to speak to Mr. Gugulan to then allow us to move forward with the next level up the organised crime group, really.
My goal now is to do what the police have so far been unable to do. Find Zeno Gugulan. One thing is clear. Duncan seems to believe that the gang had a base of operations around Northampton. Police have told us that new shoplifting gangs using the same techniques as the Morrison's group are now appearing. One has just been identified by a new centralized police unit set up to tackle organized shoplifting. This gang, funnily enough, is also based in Northampton.
So we can arrest one group who will be doing a similar kind of MO, and then it seems to sweep across the nation. So there's got to be kind of someone that's kind of overseeing it, because I'm not sure how otherwise these kind of MOs are being communicated.
Just like the Morrison's gang, this group operates around the country, uses rucksacks, a spotter, seems to operate from a shopping list and targets one specific retailer. In their case, hitting 49 branches of Holland and Barrett in quick succession. Police spot the car used in the shoplifts parked outside an address of interest. Okay.
Vehicle is parked up.
That's the vehicle?
Yeah.
Two policewomen get out of their cars and run along a terraced street. Matt follows to where the police women are looking through a front door letterbox.
Please, can you come to the door?
What's really interesting is where we are right now is next to the stash house that the Morrisons four used to store their shoplifted goods. And the police have spoken of two other groups that either were based in Northampton or came here to drop off their stolen goods before going somewhere else. So clearly there's something going on in Northampton.
More police officers have arrived and gathered in the street outside the house. An officer is wearing an earpiece.
Concerned now that
they've left the country potentially. They're going to leave. Yeah. We need to get them circulated. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Yes.
Right. Let's.
So they've checked several addresses. The people they're looking for are nowhere to be found. They saw the guy's brother. He claimed they hadn't spoken in 2 years, even though they do live right next to each other. And this here is the car that was used in a lot of the thefts, but there's no one in it, and it seems to have been here for a while. So, as far as we know, these people could be anywhere.
Today's outcome is a familiar one. Shoplifting offenses are at their highest figure since records began in 2003. But there are only a quarter of the number of prosecutions now as there were a decade ago. One thing's for certain. Everything points to some kind of criminal network in Northampton. Zeno Gugulan, or people who know him, must be here.
Matt's in the car.
Our hunt for the ringleader of an organized shoplifting gang is taking us to Northampton. The police gave us an address for Zeno, but we couldn't find him or anyone who knew him there.
We did find that he has various social media connections to a group of men who belong to an organized crime group involved in smuggling, also based in Northampton. And these men, they all have this cross tattoo on their neck, and that's basically a Russian mafia symbol that's made its way into Romanian organized crime. We've traced these men to an address, which we can't disclose, in Northampton, where they frequently hang out.
I think they might know where Zeno is, but I don't think I'll just be able to walk in and ask.
Victor!
To do that, I've enlisted the help of an old friend, Romanian investigative journalist Victor Ilie.
Such a nice Audi.
Thank you.
Hey.
Long time no see, man. How are you?
I'm looking for stolen goods.
Matt and Victor hug. An aerial view of a communications tower and houses in a residential area.
Victor will go undercover as a recent Romanian immigrant and attempt to befriend these men in order to find out if they work with Zeno.
So at this stage, he's just looking to make first contact. All right, let's put those cameras down soon.
Gliding over a quiet residential area under a grey, cloudy sky, Matt sits behind the wheel of his parked car, peers through his windscreen, and points towards a house.
Look, there he is. He's smoking outside. I wonder why he's not talking to them.
Looks like he's messaging you.
Matt checks his phone.
Oh, he says they are suspicious. He says, dude, these guys are proper mobsters.
Matt types.
Let us know if you need extraction. I think we're gonna have to go now.
Matt drives off.
Yo, talk to me. Victor?
Victor answers, I left the place.
You left?
Can we see each other?
The car park?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Later, in a largely deserted multi-story car park, Matt's standing by his car when another vehicle drives up. Matt waves and beckons to the driver. The other car slows and parks in a space near Matt's. Then Victor steps out.
Hey, man.
Hey. Dude, well done. I'm glad you're alive.
I am.
Okay, so what happened? I thought I saw lots of people going in there.
My first impression is that I've met mafia bosses, not some hungry burglars, you know?
Okay, so was that guy there?
Matt shows Victor an image on his mobile phone.
Yeah, this is the second cross-tattooed guy who was there, so the one who was investigated for being a tobacco smuggler.
And who are they?
This guy, and he's one of the bosses of one of the most important criminal organizations in Bucharest. A mob that has been investigated for street fights, loan sharking, tobacco smuggling, human trafficking, like human trafficking across Europe from Sweden to Rome.
So these are some pretty serious people then, as serious as it gets, basically.
Yes.
And in this picture from Facebook, he's right there with the guy you just saw.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Matt opens his laptop.
On social media, one of the men Victor spotted can be seen in Northampton next to a high-ranking member of a Romanian organized crime group known as the Kira clan. And what gets even more interesting is that we know from court documents that Zeno Gugulan was injured in a street fight by the enemies of the Kira clan back in Romania. I'm wondering whether this group could somehow be involved in bringing people into this country to shoplift. And also, whether they know where Zeno Gugulan is right now.
A man in a jacket, shorts, and sandals, carrying a backpack, walks out of a train station.
Victor says the group took photos of his number plate, signaling their suspicion of him, so we're having to send in another undercover reporter. Mircea Barbu is pretending to be a goods driver looking for work.
Matt hugs Mircea. Later, Matt's sitting behind the wheel of his parked car when Mircea gets in and sits in the passenger seat beside him.
Hey.
Hi.
What happened?
So, strange, to say the least. I went in, and as soon as they saw me, they took my phone away, both phones. I had them in my hand, so I kind of had it like this, so that it doesn't show. They put it outside, and they closed the door. And they searched me, and they lifted my shirt. So that was scary. But it was quite intimidating, and you know, surrounded by three tall, tattooed, bald-shaved dudes.
They're huge, aren't they?
Yeah, they're quite big, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're definitely, definitely paranoid about new people.
Yeah,
approaching them.
So they think you're a cop?
They thought I'm a cop.
If this group is searching people for wires, then they're definitely too careful to give up the location of another criminal. So we'll have to find Zeno another way. The police suspect that Zeno entered the country anonymously, which effectively makes him invisible to law enforcement. We've checked his known addresses, we've tried to speak to his known associates, and he's basically nowhere to be found. Maybe he isn't here. I've been going back and forth over Zeno's social media, desperate for clues about where he is. But all I could find was videos of him with this woman, who was the fourth member of the Morrisons gang. Then I had an idea. Basically, this got me thinking. I looked up their names in public records and I actually found their marriage certificate. So about 2 months ago, these two got married in Bucharest. So if we want to find Zeno, we're gonna have to go to Romania.
A train speeding along a track, railway lines. Then Matt's in a car with Victor, who's driving through city streets.
I've met up again with Victor, who will be helping me find Zeno in Bucharest.
I've got three addresses for Zeno, Mario Ștefăniță Gugulan.
Yeah, I saw those. We need to figure out which one to go to, though. So I did find this marriage certificate from 2 months ago. Is that in the same sector?
Yeah, it's pretty close to exactly the place we are here. It's in Sector 6. Yes.
Okay, well then let's go to that one. The first of three addresses we have to check is on a suburban street in Sector 6 of Bucharest. My director and I park on either side of the road and watch behind tinted windows. After so many dead ends, I've got little hope Zeno will appear. And then...
Who's that? Is that him?
Yes,
that's him. Zeno. That's him.
This man in a gray t-shirt was the ringleader of one of the first mobile organized shoplifting gangs to target the UK, is one of the only people who knows where the Morrison's goods were going, is wanted by the police, and is standing several meters in front of me.
Try to approach him.
Wait. No, he's with his family. We don't want to do it while he's with his family.
Okay, I got
it. You see him talking to a guy with a white t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
What does the guy with the white t-shirt look like? Is he big? Is he, like, the kind of guy that could punch me in the face if I go speak to him?
I think all of them could punch you in the face.
Okay.
And I think they all would.
Zeno, a heavy-set man, stands with his hands on his hips outside the gates of a building. Matt watches him from inside the car, then looks through his camera lens.
There he is. He's getting in his car. No, he's not. He's on foot. Now's the moment. Go.
Matt jumps out of the car and runs up the street to Zeno. Victor and a cameraman follow him.
Excuse me. Do you speak English? Are you Zeno Gugulan?
Yes.
Hi, yes. I'm a journalist. I'm interested in the Morrison's shoplifting spree that you orchestrated in England.
Hello.
Who are you stealing all that stuff for? Where is it being sold?
What?
All the stuff that was stolen from Morrison's up and down the country. Where is it all being sold? Yes.
Please speak a bit.
We're just journalists. We're just curious, like, where were you able to sell, you know, hundreds of packets of Strepsils and Sudocrem and all that stuff that you were selling?
Zeno answers. They are being sold in the UK to the Indians.
They were sold in England? Whereabouts? In shops? But you were stealing in such a high volume. You know, it wasn't just a small amount of stuff, so it would have been quite difficult to sell that unless you had some kind of plan, some kind of structure.
There are 1,000 Romanian thieves in England. Why are you coming to my house?
Yeah.
Everyone steals in England and sells to the Indians. Go to the Indians to find stolen goods.
How do you sell £100,000 worth of stock from Morrison's without some kind of structure? Was someone above you, like, in charge of the whole operation, helping you sell stuff?
Zeno gets into a car and looks through a side window. It was
Bedford.
Yes.
Who were those people? Were they shop owners? Were they an organized crime group?
One drop off. There is a wholesale place.
Wholesaling place there.
Don't worry. A wholesale place. What's it called, the wholesale place?
Sorry?
I don't know.
No.
In Bedford?
Yes.
Can you tell us any more information about it?
Make that guy move, or I'll run him over.
He will be back in an hour and give us an interview.
Yeah, right. Like a proper interview. Oh, he's not going to do that. Dude, come on. You believe that? He's not coming back.
Matt and his crew get back into their car.
It turns out I was completely wrong. For some reason, Zeno agrees to an interview. You can't see them, but several men come with Zeno and stand behind our cameras. They frequently interject.
How did he find us?
And Zeno's story has changed since this morning.
I didn't do this. I was abroad working in Norway for a year and a half. What could I have to do with this?
Okay, but is this here, that's you, right? This is the CCTV from Morrison's.
Yes, yes.
This is you?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the police. Is that your ID?
Yes.
Yes, okay, yes. So then you were present for the Morrison's shoplifting.
I was there, but I didn't steal anything.
But then why are you in the CCTV? You just happened to be at every Morrison's when they were stealing?
It just happens that I was in the store.
Okay, but then earlier today, when I saw you outside your house, you said that you were giving the goods to a wholesaler in Bedford.
I said that's where people usually sell them. I didn't say I sell them there. Why do you ask me where the goods are? That's what he asked me. I didn't do anything. I went there, and I worked, and I ended up stealing. Everyone is free to do whatever they like. Is it just England where people steal? No, there's theft in every country.
It's finished, huh?
Okay.
His curse is blanked out. Zeno walks away saying, F them. Stop filming me or I'll knock your camera off.
Guys, just stop the cameras.
Yeah, okay.
Matt's carrying a bag through a hallway.
Zeno's interview felt like an attempt to backtrack on the things he admitted to that morning. But it didn't matter, because he provided us with one crucial bit of information. He sold goods to a wholesaler in Bedford. Who is this wholesaler? And what were they doing with the goods?
Matt walks into a building and opens his laptop.
I'm back from Romania, where I managed to track down the ringleader of a shoplifting spree that targeted over 50 Morrison's branches across the UK. But he's given me a new target in the investigation, the wholesaler where he says he sold the goods. So Zeno said he was selling stuff on to an Indian wholesaler in Bedford. There's only one wholesaler in Bedford that's run by people who are Indian. And if you look at their website, they claim to be selling the same brands that Zeno and his crew were stealing. A lot of these brands are owned by Procter & Gamble, who I called, and Procter & Gamble said, we've got no contracts with Prime Value Distribution. Then I went to their website and found they're exhibiting similar products to the ones that were stolen from Morrison's all across the world, in Germany, the UK, in Africa. Now that doesn't prove anything, but if we can just somehow get in front of these guys, whether we pretend that we're trying to buy stuff or we have stuff for sale, maybe we'll figure out who these people are and whether they're actually knowingly or unknowingly working with thieves.
Large fields bordering a town.
I give Prime Value Distribution a call, pretending to be a shop owner looking to buy their stock.
Secret recording. We're not taking any new customers. We don't have any stocks at the moment.
No? Oh, is your company closing down?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, sorry to hear that. I didn't realize that. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye. The person I spoke to was keen to get me off the phone. In order to get him to open up, he needs a reason to trust us. So Victor calls him from a Romanian number, pretending to have stock for sale.
I mean, is it the same kind of stuff Zeno Gugulan used to sell you? Do you remember Zeno?
Yeah, I remember.
I mean, he was giving you invoices, or?
We can work with you. Just send me the offers, and then I will decide, okay?
I will decide, okay.
Okay. But do you buy bulk?
Yes.
Stuff, right?
Yes. Just send me the offer on WhatsApp and then we'll decide, okay?
Can you pay me in cash?
First send me the offer and then we will decide, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Matt's driving on a motorway.
Someone from Prime Value Distribution asks Victor for a meeting. After an investigation that took us from Essex to Bucharest via Northampton, we may finally be about to find out what happens to the shoplifted goods stolen by organized crime. Something no one, not the police, nor the retailers, have been able to figure out. Until now.
Okay, recording. We'll call you.
Victor gets out of Matt's car carrying a recording device on his person.
I'm parked outside, listening into their conversation.
Victor walks into a coffee shop where the man's seated at a table.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine.
What
do you do? Can you tell me?
From time to time, I can get a lot of merchandise, you know?
What is it?
I work exactly like Zeno. I work exactly like Zeno.
Yeah, I know him.
Okay.
But I don't remember. Please help me with that.
From the car, Matt's listening to Victor's conversation with the wholesaler.
I understood. So somebody is picking it from the shops and storing it in your warehouse, correct? In the house. You are alone or you have a team?
I have a team. I won't lie to you. How do I know I can trust you?
You can. You want to keep my phone somewhere?
It's no, I mean, it's not about that. I mean,
I'll switch off the phone. I'll tell you. I'll sell it across the globe, Middle East, Africa, whoever, Europe, wherever I get the buyer, boom. So
you are very big.
Anyway.
Okay.
Understand? What else you do? You do just this thing?
Yes.
Has anybody ever caught you?
No, no. Is that important? I mean, my team.
No, we're just asking how it brings you. So when I give you a requirement of something, you say you can bring it.
Yes.
And if I say 10,000 pieces of something, can you bring it?
Yeah. It depends. I mean, not diamonds.
Where will you bring 10,000 pieces for us?
But how is Zeno used to work? I mean, he's like this, right? Did you know when Zeno's stuff was stolen?
I didn't bother to ask.
Let me know if I understood correctly. Like, you are a huge wholesaler. You are buying a lot of stuff.
Mm.
When you buy stuff from people like me or Zeno, you just put the petty stuff we have within the bigger picture.
Mm.
Okay. Okay, thanks, man. Cool.
Yeah. They shake hands. Then the wholesaler gets up and leaves the table. Victor follows more slowly, then leaves the premises and joins Matt in the parked car outside.
Hey, man.
Hey.
I feel like I've met a big-time intermediary. Dealing with shoplifters is just a side business for this big-time trader I've just met.
Matt looks at the mobile. When it rings, Matt quickly gives it back to Victor, who takes the call. Secret recording.
Hey, man.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah, Ilaya. Also, one more thing. You know, I will look for people, you know, Indian people and Pakistani people, because I do visa business as well.
I didn't get this. What's the visa business?
Okay. There are people who don't have a passport and who don't have visa in the UK, okay?
Okay.
So, if they marry a Romanian on papers, okay?
Okay.
Then what happens is that after 5 years, the person gets...
Okay.
...settlement in the UK. You know, because my client pays £250 every month to the person.
Okay, like a salary to stay married, right?
You stay married, you know, but it's an arrangement. The government doesn't know, but it's marriage, legal marriage on papers. Okay.
But let
me. Where you were sitting across the coffee shop, there was a petrol station. Meet me there, then I'll talk to you.
You go.
Secret filming. At the petrol station, the wholesaler, De Victor.
You know, you cannot imagine how much money we make.
With visa.
If I bring you clients. You just have to do meet, and we do all the things, you know. You tell visa, I do visa all across the world, all across the world.
Okay. Is this safe for the people?
Safe. I only deal with people like you and me. And we all stay low return. Okay?
Okay.
That's why I said I'll mention you the visa thing.
Thanks.
Okay.
Cheers. Bye, man.
So next time we contact the visa plan, I'll give it to you as well.
This is wild. This entire investigation has started out looking into shoplifting Strepsils, and now we're investigating what appears to be some kind of illegal visa program criminal organization. Every step of our investigation has revealed another layer of criminality, leaving us finally with this man and prime value distribution. From the car boot sales to at least the one wholesale distributor that we met, there's clearly a thriving black market for shoplifted goods in the UK. Someone's bringing people into the country to do it, giving them lists of what to steal, and then helping them distribute those goods through that black market. We've all seen the rise in shoplifting. Our investigation has shown that those individual incidents are actually just the visible part of a coordinated attack on the high street by international criminals who see the UK as a soft target. The key to solving this crime wave is for it to be tackled not as a street crime, but as what it is, an organized crime network. The authorities are starting to listen. Last year, the police launched their Retail Crime Action Plan, and the government has announced funding to specifically tackle organized shoplifting crime. But they have their work cut out for them. Shortly after meeting Zeno, we found out that other members of his group were still active in the UK.
An image of the wholesaler who met Victor. The man we met whilst investigating Prime Value Distribution denied knowing Zeno Gugulin, selling stolen goods or running a visa program. Prime Value Distribution did not respond to a request for comment. An image of Fuzi, the trader at the car boot sale. We asked Fuzi to respond to the allegations in this film. He told us he was not a thief. Images of the man and woman arrested for shoplifting at Morrison's. The man admitted to 14 high-value thefts and was jailed for 27 months. The woman admitted to 7 thefts and 1 count of going equipped. She was jailed for 18 months. Zeno Gugulin remains wanted by the police. We have passed the findings of our investigation on to the police. If you have a story, email dispatches@channel4.co.uk.